Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. Ashley is about to come on right now and talk about B2B, business-to-business lead generation with no ad spend. So if that's interesting for you, give a thumbs up because we're about to dive in. I'm going to read her intro real quick here so you know a little bit more about her. And before we get to that, I do want to shout out to our review of the week on iTunes. So if you haven't reviewed us yet on iTunes, make sure you do that. Chris and his guest, this is, by the way, is from, I believe it's from Jay Barshop. Thank you for the review, Jay. Chris and his guest provide some incredibly actionable and compelling content, spotlighting the best tactics and insights on how to become the very best version of yourself and have a more productive, well-rounded life. Highly recommend listening and subscribing to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self if you want the knowledge and mindsets to grow into the person you know you're capable of being and becoming and reach your overall goals as a result. Thanks so much, Jay. We appreciate you. Now, for the woman of the hour, Ashley Avalon has studied the works of Dale Carnegie for over 20 years and uses his techniques and teachings in her business, helping her clients to build trust with their prospects. As a social media marketing expert, Ashley Avalon has helped her clients generate over $200 million in sales in 2017 and 2018 on LinkedIn. She is the best-selling author of A Blonde's Guide to be a Better Marketer for Authors Only. And she created and managed a social media campaign that raised over $30 million in crowdfunding. Ashley, you are a freaking superstar. Are you ready to rock this?
Yeah, let's do this.
Yes, she's ready to do it. Awesome. You are now live on Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, helping all these people, and coming to share with our audience so that we can be our greatest possible selves. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad to be here. I can't wait to help this audience and get everyone, you know, where they need to be able to be successful online.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to dive right in to the theme of the day, which is the art of being. So with this being, right, how we show up in life, how we relate to life, how has that showed up as an art for you, and how have you approached this aspect of being?
So my philosophy and everything is about building relationships, mm-hmm. and you have to be present and be authentic to who you truly are. So you can't go out and copy someone else's work and claim it as your own. You really have to show up and be present and be yourself. So people genuinely get to know, like, and trust you so that you can do business in the best possible way.
Wow. So it's like that being of authenticity and being yourself instead of trying to be like someone else to try to fit the mold or whatever it might be. You empower your clients and everyone around you to be themselves.
Yeah, we definitely don't copy anyone else's anything. I'm like, what would you say here?
Yeah,
that's what needs to be said. So we go through a lot of coaching in that. And I'm like, please, what would you say? You can't copy someone else's words. It has to be your own.
Right. So. I love it. So why don't you fill our audience in a little bit more? I shared a bit about you in the intro, but share a little bit more about what you're working on today and who you are.
Right now we are working on a new project that we launched this week, and it's 12 weeks to $1 million.
Cool.
I've done it a few times, but this time I'm actually the case study.
Ooh.
Which is weird, to be on the other side of the coin for this. So it makes it really hard to be the person that's pushing and striving for this, because I'm so used to being the behind the scenes person and pushing and striving for things for my clients. The best way to kind of explain who I am and what I do is that I've always been the behind the scenes person. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until late last year that I got kind of thrust to the spotlight, and it kind of just happened to be a women's group. They were like, hey, we need your bio. What have you done? And I was like, oh, I did this. And they were like, do you have anything else? And I was like, oh, I did this. And they were like, what? Like, that's amazing. What else have you done? And I was like, this? And I was like, because I wasn't used to taking credit for anything. I've always been the person behind the scenes and always some like, my clients did this, I assisted. And so, you know, it's really hard to be thrust into being on camera for one, and then being on podcasts kind of regularly now. Yeah. And, you know, it's very different for me to be like, yeah, I did that. Mm. That was totally me.
Yeah.
So I definitely don't own that at all.
Wow. That's incredible. That's a huge, huge, you know, growth to be able to step into that spotlight. I know for me, I was shy and introverted growing up in high school. I wanted nothing to do with talking to people, public speaking, anything like that. It's like, get away from me. I just want to play video games. And then like to do all the work that I had to do to break myself apart. I'm sure you've like in 2 years, you know, to go from behind the scenes to being in front. That's crazy.
Well, it actually, like, I was on In Speech and Debate in high school, and I was the outgoing person. Like, I can talk to anybody.
Wow.
I've always been at Fells. So it's just, when I had my own business, I really didn't want that. I always thought my role was behind the scenes, and I wasn't ever supposed to be in front of my client. So I always put myself back there, kind of behind them in kind of everything. And so now being able to kind of step into my own and be like, yeah, this is what I do. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Kind of
what's it like? What's it like receiving that, the spotlight attention and the acknowledgement that you really are amazing and doing all these amazing things?
I think it was like, we take calls with clients or prospects and they're like, you know, why do you want to work with me? Like, they're so honored to get on the phone. And I'm like, I'm a nobody from Oklahoma. Like, it's cool. We're good.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, I think everyone forgets that, you know, there's always that human element to everybody. So even no matter how successful you get, that person's still human. Mm. And so they're probably not going to see themselves besides who they are in that front. And so it's kind of fun to see that growth. I know a lot of my friends are like, wow, like you really came out of your shell. And I'm like, yeah. Great.
It's incredible. So
I have a coach that helps me with like the acceptance and the mindset part of the like accepting praise.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's like one of the biggest areas is that self-image, self-worth, and breaking through the mindset, the BS, the limiting beliefs, the, you know, childhood, all the programming is so critical. You know, I think like anyone who wants to be a high performer has to have that at some point in their career, if they get to, you know, seven figures or above, because it's like without that mindset coach or peeling away those layers and letting them go, it's just like almost impossible that we would just break through by sheer determination.
Yeah, I know. I hit seven figures last year and I'd only been in business for like a year and a half when I hit that. And everyone was like, that's a huge achievement. And I was like, oh, I thought everyone did this. I thought this is what we were supposed to do.
Right.
I was like, so I'm like, how do I make my second million? And, you know, how do we hit eight figures? And I'm always like looking for that next goal. Yeah. And so I'm very goal oriented. And so that's why I'm excited about this challenge. Cause it's, I mean, obviously it's a huge undertaking. $1 million in 12 weeks is big. And to be able to do it from a warm audience is even better.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. Well, I'm excited to dive even more into all of that and the business-to-business lead generation that we're going to be talking about today. And I want to go back a little bit further into your journey about some of the challenges that you had to overcome to get to where we are today. You know, you mentioned that you grew your business so fast, to seven figures in like a year or something like that. You know, was there anything like that? But anything before that that you had to really break through to be able to step into that business entrepreneurship mindset or position in your life?
So what a lot of people don't know is I had a company in 2012 that tanked. Mm-hmm. We almost had a filed personal bankruptcy on it. We financed everything ourselves. We were really young, kind of bootstrapped it, and it went under, and we refunded like $30,000 of our personal money to people just because it wasn't going to work.
Wow.
And so, you know, I've had that failure in business. So I think that was kind of what drove me back in. And I went back to corporate after that. I was like, I have to have a job. I really need to work. Like, I went back. And so, you know, I was like, I tried, I failed. maybe I need to go back to work. And it was horrible. It was horrible to work for someone else. It was horrible to have regular hours. It was awful to have to answer to a boss. And I went through 3 jobs pretty quickly just because like the money wasn't there and the growth wasn't there. And there was no way for me to grow personally. Mm-hmm. And my final job was director of sales and marketing for a law firm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's pretty prestigious in and of itself. I don't have a bachelor's degree. So all of my stuff is self-taught.
That's awesome.
And so I obtained that. And I kind of hit that, and I hit that side of my life where I said, you know, I'm just turned 28 and I'm going to be the director of sales and marketing for the rest of my life. I don't have a bachelor's degree. I will never be anything more than this. I can go work back in hotels and do it again, but this will be what I've always am. And so I always tell everybody that was like my quarter life crisis. Like I went home and went to bed and they were like, really? And I'm like, yeah, for real. Like I went home, I put on my pajamas and I got into bed and I stayed there. And I programmed Infusionsoft. So I worked on Odesk at the time and did Infusionsoft programming and kind of worked for myself in that regards.
Yeah.
Like just freelancing on the side and didn't really know what I wanted to do. Pretty much until January of 2016. And someone was like, hey, can you help me with some marketing? And I came back with like this 10-page report. My husband's like, dude, you have to charge money for that.
And is that what you do when you put all this energy and time and effort in? Is that you charge?
Yeah. So now I charge money for this crazy thing that like I was just doing randomly for people for free. And so I created Denenda Consulting in April 2016. We went live. Mm-hmm. I was fully booked by June, published my book in December, and then January of 2017, I started signing celebrity clients and big ticket things, and then just kind of went from there. And to April of this year, when I merged my business, which had grown into 2 businesses with my business partner, Sarah Thompson's businesses. We merged all that together and created a growth business and are working on the full launch of that. But we started in April of this year and we've already done over 6 figures in that business.
That's awesome.
In 6 weeks. So it's pretty, I feel like we're pretty successful and on the right path for trajectory. But yeah, I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at today without having a failed business before and knowing the hardship of what it was like to be a struggling small business owner and what it meant when people weren't hitting deadlines and those kinds of things. And so if I wouldn't have had that, I probably wouldn't be able to be like, hey, yeah, I can do this and I can make it work.
What's your biggest challenge that you've seen in growing this business quickly, this, you know, 12 weeks to earn $1 million? What has been the biggest challenge in like really ramping up and achieving that?
The biggest thing is mindset. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. It's the belief that you can do it. So if you don't believe it's possible, it's really hard to be like, hey, give me $100,000 to do this. Like if you don't have faith that it's going to work, it's really hard to ask for that kind of money. And because I have some big projects under my belt, you know, I can say, hey, I get paid way more than this for something. You can probably pay me and get your ROI. Right. And then the fact that with the way we're doing it, we have a satisfaction guarantee to where if we don't want an extra money, we hand it back to you. And so that's huge. With what we're doing is that, you know, that's kind of like uncharted waters in marketing. We're like, hey, if we can't fix it, we'll hand it back. Right. Like it's cool. No harm, no foul. And so that's one of the things that I try to stand by is my word. And, you know, if I can't perform, then I want to make sure that I'm not screwing people over, because I feel like everyone feels like that in the marketing world.
Yeah. Protect. If you cover the downside and, you know, like give them the awesome benefits of the upside, then it's a win-win, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We really try to make sure we strive for excellence within our company, but within our clients. And that's why our brand motto is your success is our business. Like we truly believe that we can only be successful if you are.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. So we got a better idea of who you are. Now let's start diving into these principles that have been working for you to grow these companies. Where would you like to start in us knowing how to generate these leads for free, how to understand business-to-business marketing, how to grow our companies successfully and quickly?
So the biggest thing is to remember that the person on the other side of the computer or any marketing strategy is a human. Hmm. And so you need to talk to them like a person and not at them. Hmm. So you want to carry on a conversation, and a conversation is two ways. Hmm. So you can use a bot to start a conversation, but you can't use a bot to carry on a conversation.
Right.
Like, we automate some things, because if you're sending out 900 messages, that would be, you know, a full day. My assistant sent out 900 messages and got me 40 coffee dates in March.
Wow.
Last year. And, you know, that's a lot of work. And that was when no one was on LinkedIn. That was still when everyone was like, oh, you shouldn't be there. And I was like, yeah, watch this. And I make $250,000 in 12 hours. And they're like, how did you do that? I'm like, magic.
Magic.
So, wow. That's one of the things that I always try to tell people is that you, once you remember that there's a human element in business and there's a human element in sales, that you can, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. Mm. What would you do if you got the spam message in your inbox? How would you respond?
Yeah.
That's how that person's going to respond. And so how do you respond, and what messages do you respond to the best is the easiest way to really bring that in. And that's really, you know, the whole principle that Dale Carnegie felt like was that, you know, you treat people how they want to be treated, and you listen more than you talk. And so when you take those things into account, you know, allow people to speak about themselves, you know, you can actually hear what their problems are in their business once you get them talking. And so that's what I always try to open the door to, is to open the door to allow company or business owner to talk about their issues so we can see the best possible solution. Hmm. So I never go into any sales call or anything with the intentions of selling anyone anything or with the intentions of knowing what I needed to do to make X, Y, Z. I just assume that it's going to happen because I'm going to be able to solve whatever issue they have. It just might be a different piece of the puzzle with that. And so once you know that you're treating people like people, and I try to stress this so much because so many people get so caught up in automation and ads and all these things that they forget that a human is who's responding to those things. And once we started treating people like people, it was kind of this foreign concept. Like, no one had been doing that for a while. So it's really easy to make sales because you're like, they're like, you're a real person. You'll hop on Zoom with me. You'll talk to me. You'll come visit me in my office. You'll fly to Denver to see me. You'll do what? Like, you know, and so those things really help, you know, making sure that you're personable and making sure that, you know, you can help people. And if you go in with your own agenda, I think, and that's, you know, another Dale Carnegie thing, like, you can't go in and flatter people and like falsify things. You have to go in without an agenda with the genuine interest in someone else. And if you're truly genuinely interested in them, then and only then will they kind of tell their life story to you, and you'll get what you need to be able to do your job.
What does it take to cultivate that genuine interest and like get the door open, so to speak?
So usually hello works really well. I know it's really shocking, but we always say you can start with hello. So that's kind of the running joke online, is people will be like, you had me at hello,
right?
Because, you know, Jerry Maguire. But yeah, on top of that, like, you know, we always, my sayings that I use in business are like, need to be censored. So I won't like completely elaborate on those because I'm very unfiltered,
colorful.
But, yeah. But it works for me because I'm like 5'2" Oklahoma girl, like, everything you could describe in a Southern belle is like my lifestyle. And then get me like in a sporting event and it's like ferocious. And I'm like, yeah, that's how I am in business too. Like,
love it.
So that's the biggest thing, is just, you have to say hello. And if you were at a networking event, I always try to tell people this, if you were meeting someone at a networking event in person, what would you say? Like, how would you go up and introduce yourselves and get that person to talk to you? Because that's exactly how that conversation online should start. And like, if you go up to the girl and you're like, oh my gosh, your shoes are so cute. Where did you get those? Oh, by the way, what do you do for a living? Like, if that's how you start your conversations, then that's how you should start them online. Like, hey, I saw in your profile picture that you had on a Gucci top. That's amazing. Where did you get it?
So it's like the energy, almost it's like everyone has their own energy about what they would say. And the energy comes through, let's say online, because a lot of messaging happens online where the energy or the personality isn't necessarily able to be, you know, like seen or heard, but it might be able to be felt by the other person based on just who being authentic and being yourself.
So I will censor mine just to give you an example.
Sure.
Mine is like, tell me what the most BA thing you're working on right now is and why I need to know about it. And so everyone's like, dude, like, this is what I'm working on. So like, I know what, like, all kinds of crazy things people are working on, because they want to tell me what what they're working on. And so like, that's always fun because it really helps open that door to conversation, and I can be like, wow, that's awesome. Or, hey, I know someone that did that. This works really well in that regards. And it's always good to always make sure that you're going in the frame of mind on social media to be mutually beneficial, especially on platforms like LinkedIn. So you're looking for referral partners and not necessarily a sell. So most people in business, their stuff is transactional, meaning that like you may only get one sell from that person. But if you go in and find that referral partner that can give you multiple transactional sales, that's the person you want to be connected with.
What does it take to cultivate that referral-based relationship?
I think for me, it's just starting the conversation. And I can give a great example of this. Some guy sent me a message on LinkedIn Monday, and he was like, hey, I'm in Oklahoma City. What's there to do? And I was like, all these things. You can go to this networking event with me tomorrow night if you want. And he was like, okay. And then he's been texting me all week. So now we're chatting back and forth, like on a personal level. And I've never met this man before in my life. I don't know him, but now this conversation is two ways. And, you know, we're talking about kids and life and different things. And guess what? When I go have drinks with him this week, it won't be awkward. We won't be like sitting there twiddling our thumbs. Like, we've already established this rapport.
Right.
And I always tell Sarah, I'm like, I feel like I date these people. Like, we get to a certain point, I'm like, okay, let's meet. Like, we're ready for this next step. So it's usually coffee or drinks or lunch or dinner or something, you know, some sort of first date type of thing. And then you go from there. And, you know, if the mutual relationship is good, you can carry on and be like, oh, yeah, we're ready for the second step in this relationship. And that's when you start, you know, really becoming referral partners. I'm really good at passing business. So I probably pass close to 1,000 leads a month.
Wow.
And so, you know, everyone wants to be connected with me. So they're like, oh, Ashley knows everybody. Like, you know, she can send you the person that'll fix your whatever.
How do you stay organized in knowing who to send people to? And when people ask, like, how does your organization work around that system?
So apparently I'm not organized. I got in trouble for this recently. Like, apparently things have to come out of my brain and on the paper.
Really?
Yeah. Or other people don't know them. So yeah, I'm that person that could be like totally be a politician and like remember every person from every town and be like, I met you. And I do that. Like, I know people and I'll be like, dude, I went to like school with you, or my mom like worked with you, and you have no idea if I am, because I was like 6 and now I'm like 30 something. And so yeah, I definitely have that memory that I can remember faces and names.
That's awesome.
And people, and like I can almost pinpoint where I've met someone at and be like, I met you here at this date. And so yeah, we're working on pulling my brain into a CRM. It's it's a work in progress. I'm not going to say it's perfect right now because it's far from it.
It's massive. So,
yeah. Sarah was like, how did you handle last year? And I was like, I took all my own sales calls. No sales needed. So no need for a CRM, because I just did it. She's like, we have a sales team. We need you to put this on paper. And I'm like, oh. Because, like, and I remember details about people, too. Like, I remember that you're, like, your dog's name and your kids' names and your wife and people's birthdays and, like, all the information. It's just all stored in my head. And I just, like.
It's incredible.
And that's. But it's really great because, and if you don't have that memory, that's why a CRM is so important, because you can make those notes in there. Like the dog's name is Sparky. Nice. The kid's name is, you know, Harold. They call him Harry. Hmm. You know, those notes are in there and you can be like, oh, Harry had a baseball tournament. Be sure to ask about that during the sales call. And so those are the things that, you know, you make sure that are available if you have a team.
Yeah.
Handling things, or that you make notes if you have a really bad memory and can't remember all the things. And so like, but that's important because people want to know and people want to want to feel like you care. And that's where, you know, that genuinely being interested in people comes into play. And the more you listen and the more you know someone's backstory, the easier it is to remember them and recall information because you were able to absorb all of that.
Wow, that's powerful. So in terms of being able to generate the leads, now we got some ideas on how to connect with people and be authentic. Like, what do we need to know about taking someone from a cold lead, opening the door up? We talked about that a little bit, and then turning them into a lead or a prospect that actually buys.
So you have to know when to flip the script, right? Mm. So you have to know when in natural conversation to say, I do X, Y, Z, and I can serve you. Mm. And so if you, like, I had somebody come in and they were like, oh, I'm having all these issues. And it was like website, logo, something else. And I was like, oh, we do that. I have that person on my team. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. Her name is Crystal. She's awesome. We can hook you up and get an appointment set with me, you, and Crystal, and we can get you going. And they're like, oh, I didn't know you did that. And so the more you listen and the more you're able to see that you can take that conversation naturally there. The other thing is to have a profile funnel. So a profile funnel is where you have a call to action within your profile, but all of your information is there too, so that people are drawn in and actually want to converse with you. Like, I don't actively have to send out messages on my LinkedIn as often. I think I do it twice a month now versus where I was doing it last year, where we were sending out hundreds a day. And that's just because I get approached more. So the leads that are coming in through my personal LinkedIn are people that are saying, hey, I need to have coffee with you. I need XYZ. Hey, can you do this? Hey, have you done that? And so the more rapport you build within your own system and by being present and really setting yourself apart as an expert. And that's the thing that I try to tell people is you have to have articles written on LinkedIn. You have to have posts published. You have to have a true traditional business page. You have to have all of these things in place for credibility. So when people go there and they see you and you're present, they're able to say, wow, you know, this person's amazing. I really need to work with them. And I started a blog series this time about, it's like Rapid Growth is our new blog series on LinkedIn. And Sarah and I are both writing articles about past projects we've worked on. And at the end of it, we have a call to action within that. And that's so important. And that's a piece a lot of people forget is, we told a whole story and then we have a call to action. And so that call to action really drives traffic where you want it to go, whether it's you want to have coffee with someone, you want to send them to a traditional sales funnel process that's all automated. If you're trying to, you know, create an opt-in and get emails to do something else, I mean, obviously right now you have to make sure you're GDPR compliant, but you know, all the things you want to make sure that are there. But those are the really, like, the biggest things that everyone is kind of worried about is just, you know, they go in and they spill all of this information, but there's no call to action. There's no place for anyone to go, oh, I want to work with them.
Mm.
So they have to allow that.
Giving away a ton of value and not giving them a next step to take. It's like, okay, that was a great piece of content, and then they go on to the next thing or person. But if we put that specifically, you know, right in front of their face, do this next, then if they enjoyed the content, then they'll do it.
Yeah, and that's huge. You know, in sales, we always talk about asking for the sell is like the biggest thing. Like, you get to the end of the sales call and you have to be like, and here's the contract that you can sign and I'll take your money right now. Right. So you have to ask for that sell. And a lot of people don't do that. And they're like, I don't understand why I'm not closing business. Or, and they do the same thing when they produce content. They produce this amazing content. They're like, I have no idea why no one bought from me. And I'm like, because you had no call to action. They didn't know where to go. Mm. They didn't know what to do. Mm. And most people won't hunt you down to find out what to do. They want it to be really easy. And so creating a good profile funnel allows you to have that. Mm. And then making sure that you have really good SEO on LinkedIn in that regards to keywords. Mm-hmm. So if you have some made up title that you invented for yourself, people aren't searching for that made up title you invented for yourself. Mm. So you might want to include the real title that people are searching for. And you can include your made up one, just put the other one first.
Awesome. So in terms of the clients who spend less money that you've worked with at, you know, like low thousand or even less.
So my clients don't spend money on ads. Okay. I should specify that everything we do is organic guerrilla marketing.
Beautiful. I wanted to mention, if someone like a client, for example, who buys a package from you, for example, if you were to work with someone, or if you know your clients who do this, who work with people for less than $1,000 versus the clients who spend tens or even $100,000+, what's the difference in terms of like attracting those different caliber and levels of people?
It really depends on what, like, you can only sell what trust you've earned. Sarah says this all the time. She always tells me it's not hers, but I just quote her on it. you can only sell the amount of trust you have with someone. So it's a lot easier to sell, like, I have a $97 course. It's a lot easier to sell a $97 course than a $100,000 product.
Totally.
Like, people are a lot more willing to open their wallet for $97. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing, is you sell what trust you have. And so if you have a gateway product that brings people in and you start earning that trust, it's a lot easier to upsell them to a more expensive product later. Mm. And like I said in the beginning, we're going to do $1 million worth of sales to a warm audience. Right. That means that these are relationships we've already built or are in the process of building. They're not cold. So these people we already have some sense of trust there. Mm. And so that's the biggest thing, is you want to make sure you have that added trust before you try to dive in to a larger product or package. And it's not saying that you can't cold sell a $25,000 thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot harder to do, and it's not going to happen as frequently as it is to cold sell, you know, something under $1,000 and then go back to that person later and be like, hey, now that you've done this, why don't you try this? Mm. And they're already happy, so it's easier to sell them something else.
Would you start with the higher price thing, and then if they balk at that, then say, okay, I get that that's not within your range, what about this? No, you wouldn't? It would turn them off?
Yeah, we always start with the entry for everyone is the same. Wow. And then they're usually like, hey, I would rather just not take a class. Mm. So then they just, sorry, I have a sick one home today. you don't always have, sorry, I lost my train of thought. They don't always want to do a DIY thing. So then we're like, oh, we have done for you services. Mm. And then go from there into, you know, we have completely done for you services to where, you know, it's remote C-suite services done for you. And so that's, you know, the natural path is that you bring them in with something. Mm. And if that's not the right fit for them, it's easier to upsell them to what they need than it is to downsell them to something else.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
Right now, it's just because 5 years ago was completely different. Yeah. Like you could do the complete opposite. It's just because of like all the uncertainty with everything that's been going on the last few years with online and everyone thinking they're a business coach or an expert or whatever. So that credibility and trust has been lost for a lot of us in the industry, even the ones that have been around, versus, you know, trying to really grow and scale businesses. People just haven't done that. And so just trying to make sure that we watch everything and, you know, are present, and then truly building that relationship helps you with that rapport to sell the bigger ticket items. And I mean, from my LinkedIn profile, I've probably sold, you know, I've done over $750,000 worth of business.
Wow.
That was people sending me messages, not the other way. And that's just, so that once that credibility is there, it's really easy to do business. It's just kind of all about building that profile up and making sure, you know, you're present and active.
Cool. So is there any other recommendations or things that we need to do, actionable steps to build up our profile and start getting people to attracting people to message us or making us more appealing if we're doing the messaging ourselves?
Yeah, one of the biggest things is to make sure that your endorsements are all at 99 plus. And if they aren't, the best way to get endorsements is to give endorsements.
Yep.
And same with recommendations. If you don't have very many recommendations, make sure you're asking for recommendations. And the more that you give, you get.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and don't be afraid to ask for recommendations from past clients, coworkers, anything like that, anything to help you get added credibility there is very, very important. And just kind of growing in those phases is just, once you kind of get that credibility there, you just kind of push. And it's such a gentle push that it just kind of trolls. Okay, go away. I'm so sorry.
That's cool.
It's like this live, so yeah. I wish I could tell you that this was the first time that's happened.
But it's not.
And the first time it happened, pretty impressive. I was on the phone with, and I'm like kicking my kid under the desk. What child? Where? the thing is that you just want to make sure that it's consistent and that you're giving more than you're receiving on LinkedIn is really the thing.
Beautiful. And then to generate those leads without spending ad dollars, is there anything else that we need to know about that process?
No, it's really just you sell to people that you've built a relationship with. You can also post like a post with a call to action to direct traffic to a website, but you're still selling within your LinkedIn connections. And so that's all organic content that you're creating. You're not paying for ad spend there. You're just kind of showing up.
Cool.
And video is really prevalent. So I want to make sure people understand that when you're posting, you want to post a photo, a post without a photo. Then you want to post a native video, meaning under 10 minutes downloaded to LinkedIn, and then an article. And you do a mixture of those throughout the month and don't stick with just one thing. That helps you expand your reach. And they'll let you show up more and more in front of people. And the more you post, the more reach you get. So it's kind of the opposite of Facebook, where like the more your business page posts, the less people see it.
Yep.
And it's completely opposite. It's like the more you post, the more people interact, the more exposure you get. And so it's kind of great. It's actually like Facebook was 6 years ago when it was awesome for business pages. We weren't paying money. So I think because LinkedIn has their paid, like in order to really be interactive with people, you have to have a premium business account. And so because that's a paid version, I think that they're probably always going to let business pages kind of rule the roost there.
Right.
Everything's paid for. Like we already care about it.
Ashley, do you hear the like buzzing or the ringing?
Hold on.
There, it's gone. I'm muted.
Okay, is it better?
Yes. We're almost there. We're almost at the finish line.
So close. So close. I promise. There was like a note on the door that said, shh, Tom's in a meeting. Like, I at least attempted it.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So we're beginning to come to the end, and let's just start, you know, recapping what people need to know to be successful with LinkedIn lead generation and succeeding in an online business in this day and age.
Yeah. So do you want me to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. So the biggest thing is just to show up and be present. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that you are connecting with people in your target market. It's really easy to find those people on LinkedIn. And when you're messaging people, make sure you're treating the person on the other side of the computer like an actual human. Don't change how you talk. Mm-hmm. So writing copy on LinkedIn, you're going to write exactly like you speak. So I say y'all a lot. So I write y'all in my copy because you want to treat people like it's a person. And those flares of injections of that add personality and help people feel like they really know you. And that's the key, is to getting them to know, like, and trust you, is to really have that presence there and making sure that, you know, you treat people like people. I can't stress that enough.
I can know something. I need something. Can you grab me in there below?
So, yeah, those little pieces. And then lead generation on LinkedIn is always done through a call to action. So whether that call to action is done within a message that has been organically grown and cultivated, or it is a post that you're doing with a call to action, you want to make sure that's there. Profiles is SEO. You want to make sure that within that profile SEO that you have everything there as far as keywords that people would actually be looking for. And so those little keys are super relevant in that piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. Life.
It's the best.
Best children. You know, it's going to be really funny to your podcast listeners that can't see all.
Oh man, it's going to be gold.
They'll have to come back and watch the live.
Right? You guys got to see the live. Yes. This little boy's face is the cutest. Ashley is totally telling her son what to do right now.
I'm the total mompreneur, and I hate that word because I'm like, I can do everything a man can do, except, you know, with kids running all around and a house burning down behind me.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Sarah says hi, Ashley and Chris. What is up, Sarah? Thanks for showing up today. And Paula mentioned, yes, building by giving endorsements and asking. Sometimes we don't ask. Trust is built on that credibility. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Paula. You're going to be on later today. Excited to have you. And Ashley, you know, we're beginning to come to the end, and we want to know, how does the audience stay connected with you, and what do we want them to do next?
So one of my amazing things is that my LinkedIn thing is actually, if you go to linkedin.com/IN/ it is queen of LI. So I'm legit the queen of LinkedIn.
Queen of LI. Love it. Awesome. So,
yeah. You can find me anywhere on social media under Ashley Avalon. Grow Business is our Facebook page, and the website for that is growa.business.
Cool. Wow. Awesome. And then what can they expect if they go to these sites and connect with you more? How can they get more value?
Well, if you follow us right now, you can jump into the 12 Weeks to $1 Million Behind the Scenes Facebook group and see what we're doing each day to get to $1 million and kind of that whole process, which is complete insanity. And we have links to that all over everywhere. So it's kind of fun.
Awesome. Anything else we should be excited about from you coming in the coming months?
I don't know. I feel like this is a huge undertaking. I'm probably going to retire after this. Sit on a beach. No. This is pretty much where my focus is right now, is really helping people to grow and make $1 million. I helped 8 people hit it last year, and I want to help more this year.
Wow.
Achieve that.
Amazing. You're on the path, Ashley. We love everything that you shared with us today, and I'm so excited to see you grow and help many, many people reach $1 million and have you reach 8 figures and above with Sarah and all the amazing things that you're doing. You deserve it. So thanks so much for coming on today and sharing with our audience. We appreciate you, and everyone listening or watching, go to growa.business or linkedin.com/IN/QueenOfLI and find Ashley and connect with Sarah Thompson as well and get to know them, because they're powerhouses. And Ashley, hope you have the best day ever. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye. Take care. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.EmployeeEscapePlan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website, beyourgps.com, and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day ever.